All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today for the third quarter 2018 financial results and business update conference call with Progressive Care Incorporated, ticker symbol RXMD. Before we get started, I'd like to read the cautionary statement regarding forward-looking statements. Statements contained herein that are not based upon current or historical fact are forward-looking in nature and constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of Section 27A of the Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Such forward-looking statements reflect the company's expectations about its future operating results, performance, and opportunities that involve substantial risk and uncertainties. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding the intended terms of the offering, closing of the offering, and any use of proceeds from the offering. When used herein, the words anticipate, believe, estimate, upcoming, plan, target, intend, and expect, and similar expressions as they relate to Progressive Care Incorporated, its subsidiaries, or its management are intended to identify such forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements are based on information currently available to the company and are subject to a number of risk uncertainties and other factors that could cause the company's actual results, performance, prospects, and opportunities to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by these forward-looking statements. Now, once again, this is the Progressive Care Incorporated third quarter 2018 financial results and business update. I'm Stuart Smith from smallcapvoice.com, and I'm joined by the CEO of Progressive Care Incorporated, Sheetal Mars. Sheetal, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much. Well, Sheetal, the floor is yours, and then check back in with me when you're ready, and I will hit you with the shareholder questions that have been emailed into us.
Okay, sounds good. So I know that all of you have just gotten the financial statements in your hands. You haven't had a chance to look them over, and I do want to go over them as thoroughly as I can while still allowing us time for question and answers and to talk about some things on the back end. So I'm going to go over them briefly. If you have a chance to pull it up and follow along, you can go on with it. But as you know, you can always take time to review the financials at a later time. So I'm going to start with the balance sheet. We have similar cash as we did last year. As you all know, we completed the acquisition of Touchpoint. That is now consolidated in, as opposed to in June 30th, it was unconsolidated. So our cash is pretty much the same as we used the cash from Chicago Venture Partners to facilitate that purchase. That purchase is complete. We are working on that location, by the way. Now with Touchpoint, we will be referring to Touchpoint as Farmco 1002. Just to have some consistency in the branding. All of our prescriptions delivered from there have Farmco labeling on it. So in our future financial statements and any press releases, we will now be referring to Touchpoint as a Farmco-branded subsidiary, just to clear up any confusion at future points. We have about $1.2 million in net accounts receivable. That's pretty standard. We haven't seen any fluctuations. We aren't seeing anything from the PBMs that would indicate any delays in payments. So we are pleased that we are continuing to maintain our accounts receivables, that they're turning over on the same rates that we're accustomed to. Inventory is about 500,488,000 to be exact here. As you know, our inventory turns over every week, so we don't hold a great deal of stock. What we get in goes out, and so we don't have a lot of risk of holding inventory in our warehouse. Prepaid expenses, the vast majority of this is the remaining portion of the stock that was issued at the beginning of the year. Those all will vest pretty much by the end of the year, by December 31st. So we will move all of this out of here as of the December 31st financial report. You'll look down goodwill. This includes the money that we paid and any liabilities that were in excess of assets for Touchpoint, now Farmco 1002. And we have some security deposits. Equipment, this equipment, and I apologize for jumping around, equipment is $500,000. That now includes three boat robotic systems. That's the Parada in Palm Beach, the Script Pro, and the TCGRX in the Farmco location. That includes also the cars. That includes leasehold improvements and all of the hard drives and infrastructure we've put in place to manage the locations. So we are really well on our way to having the right equipment. As many of you know, the TCGRX, the Parada systems, are similar to the same, are similar to the PillPack systems that you hear about all in the news. We have the same exact machines doing the same exact work. So we are capable of, the one thing that sets us apart is we're capable of delivering that on a local same-day level, whereas PillPack and other mail-order pharmacies typically either serve long-term care institutions or retail on a mail order basis, which means there's a lag time between delivery of the order of prescription and receiving the medication. Going into our accounts payable and accrued liabilities, we're not seeing a huge increase, about $100,000, $1.8 million in accounts payable. A lot of that is from our main wholesaler and amounts owed to pursuant to our 340B contract. In our inventory, we also have the replenishment of those goods, so those kind of net out. Unearned revenue is about $156,000. That allows for any time between when we bill for the medication and when the patient actually receives it, which is on average less than 2 days. So if we typically with refills, we will bill those 3 days in advance to ensure the patients don't have a gap in therapy, and they will receive those medications before they run out of their prior fill. Notes payable, 95 net of current portion. That is that capital, and that includes capital lease obligations. We have just a few $100,000 deferred rent liability. These are liabilities that include any notes that we may have and capital lease obligations. Stockholders' equity, we have about 430 million shares outstanding as of September 30th. That includes all shares owed to Chicago Venture Partners. As you all know, though, that note is completely paid off. We don't have any debt on the books for that as of today, so that's a great thing. We have a pretty good balance sheet with which we can move forward on further initiatives. Let's go into the P&L. We did about $5.4 million in sales for the 3 months, $15.6 million for the 9 months. Again, this last 3 months includes Farmco 1002, the second location in Palm Beach. So we are seeing about a 4% increase on the whole 9 months on sales, which includes that second location. We are really pleased with the level of growth we're seeing on our top line revenue, and this is based on record setting months of sales. This year, January and August were both records in terms of numbers of prescriptions filled, number of 340B patient service, number of doctor service, number of physician service. So we are not only are we building revenue in major headwinds in the healthcare industry, we are growing our patient base, our market share, our geographic area as well. You'll notice that cost of sales has gone up slightly. It's gone up about 2%, so it was 76%, now it's 78%, so that we're seeing about a small drop in the gross profit margins. That has everything to do with increasing drug prices and DIR fees. The one good thing about that is we do have DIR fees that are held by PBMs that offer performance-based incentives, which will allow us to have a return on those fees. We did receive the highest eligible payout from Humana this year at about $100,000, for meeting all three performance metrics. As of today, we are still meeting all three performance metrics. We will have to close out the year with those metrics in order to see a full recovery of those PBM fees, but we are in good shape as of today, where we're still maintaining our performance in all three segments. Selling, our bad debt is negligible. We make sure our accounting standards make sure that we collect on everything that we have authorized payments for from our PBMs. Small stock-based compensation, as you know, we're amortizing that throughout the year. And other SG&A, that includes salaries. You'll have to note that this does include increases in salaries to our staff. We've increased our staff to over 70 individuals. We have increased marketing expenses, advertising, development of more social media channels, websites, IRPR, consulting, auditing fees, and things of that nature. So we do have slightly higher SG&A than we had in the prior year. But all of that is in furtherance of our plans to close out the year and going into next year. So if we look at the loss from operations at $938,000 from the 9 months ended September 30th, about $438,000 of that is the stock-based, $446,000 is the stock-based compensation, and the rest of it is increases in cost of goods and advertising and other investments we've made to prepare for the future. We've recouped some of that, some of those losses from a change in fair value of derivatives. As I said before, we've paid off all of the Chicago Venture Partners notes. So total loss is about $1 million. Again, not all of that is a cash-based loss in the stock. And we do expect some recoupment, although it's indeterminable, the exact amount. And that's why we have not accrued for it in this quarterly financial of the DIR fees. If everything holds, we should have a return of those DIR fees, but I can't give an amount as of today. Again, for about 430,000 shares, 430 million shares outstanding. That is net of shares owned, beneficially owned by Farmco and by Progressive Care, which is a, you know, circular ownership. So we do net those out for financial statement purposes, but they are part of the issued and outstanding when you go and look at it on OTC markets. So cash flows, we do have positive cash flows from financing over the entire period of about $500,000. We have net usage of cash in the operations of $135,000 and net usage of investing activities, $400,000. That shows that we use the monies that we receive from Chicago Venture Partners to buy the second location in Palm Beach, Farmco 1002, and more the TCGRX and other equipment and vehicles. So we have a small decrease in cash over the total 9 months of about $11,000. So I'm going to move now into discussion of what all of this means. As you know, we are a fast-growing company. We are reaching record numbers. August was the biggest prescription count we had ever had in the company's history. We are getting more and more prescriptions every day. We do face headwinds. As we've talked about in the previous call, we talked about DIR fees. We talked about reimbursement compression, we talk about benefits restriction. All of that stuff serves as mitigating factors to our growth. However, even with those factors taking place in April, we not only didn't miss a beat in our revenue, we replaced all of that revenue within the 3 months of them taking place, but we have exceeded that revenue base. So what we used to have from higher reimbursements and compounding, what we used to have is more coverage of custom compounds in the previous year, we've completely replaced all of that income. And so we are moving forward into the future on a more stable footing. Our sales is more diversified than ever, where we're getting prescriptions from hospitals, from doctors, from specialists, from everybody under the sun. We are seeing growth further out from the North Miami location. So we have as far south as Homestead, which is about 50 miles south of us in North Miami Beach, to as far north as Port St. Lucie, which is another 100 miles. So we are seeing a lot of prescriptions coming in, and the reason for that is the performance. I want to talk a little bit now about the model and how we are going to be moving forward into the finishing up this year and going into next year. We know with 100% certainty that the model is correct. We know that the way we do things works. We know that doctors are switching their patients from chain pharmacies, from PBM-owned pharmacies, to us. Why? Why does that matter? What does that mean to the bottom line? It matters because we are going to see increasing revenue. We are going to see people and facilities wanting to partner up with us on all of our technological advancements. We are going to see reimbursements of our DIR fees. And what this allows us to do is if we have all of these opportunities to show our performance, that provides us leverage, that provides us the ability to negotiate with PBMs, that provides us the ability to withstand pressures, to be removed from networks as those networks restrict to eliminate independence. They usually will try to remove mom and pops and work with just the chains like Walmart or CVS or one of those, but they can't really exclude companies like Farmco, because at the end of the day, Farmco saves insurance plan money. And that leads to more revenue for us. That leads to more market share for us. That leads to more expansion opportunities for us. We are receiving calls from New York, from Texas, from Georgia, from healthcare professionals all across the country, especially in the states that we're licensed in, and insurance companies in the states that we're licensed in who want to work on pilot programs. So we have now are embarking on negotiations and proposals for those programs. So going into what we've accomplished over the last 9 months, so we've had record-setting months in terms of prescription fills, record-setting revenue, five-star pharmacy, payoff of the debt, full integration of the new location, which, as you know, getting past the regulatory hurdles of changing our business licenses to all reflect the change to Farmco, changing the software, having the VPNs in place, doing the HIPAA security that we need to have, having all of the protocols that we need to have in place for full integration and full marketing capability, we are now at that place. We now have the ability to go into Palm Beach area and market ourselves as a Farmco, use the performance that we've had in Miami, and leverage it to those patients, and we're starting to see some success. So we did have a minor slowdown during the transition in software, during the transition in our technology over there, and some staffing that we had to add more staffing and more infrastructure for the delivery capability that they weren't used to. So we did have a slight slowdown in just some prescriptions not being sent properly, not being received properly by the system, so it took a little bit longer to fill those prescriptions than they did before. But all of those issues have been resolved, and we are looking forward to seeing some really big growth in that second location by the end of the year. As I said before, I wanted to see between 20% and 30%, and I know I can deliver that easily before the year is out. We did add two new 340B contracts, again, because of our reputation as a superior pharmacy in the industry. So more and more clinics are coming to us. We are seeing more and more indications of interest from other clinics, and we are reaching out with those clinics and those covered entities to do more 340B. Now, the only thing about 340B, and I've explained this before, when we fill the prescription, those reimbursements are on behalf of the covered entity, so we act as a pass-through. So our top line, while we may have had significantly more billings flow through our pharmacy software than is reported on our financial statements, remember the drug costs are also not ours. Those are borne by the covered entity. So when we have 170,000 or so in payments from 340B entities for providing this service, all of that is profit. We don't bear any of the costs of the drug, so we don't have to report any of the top-line revenue. That those fees are our sales, and they are our profits on those sales. So we've raised nearly $1.4 million for 340B entities in the third quarter. In October of 2018, we will see an increase of that, both because two contracts are going to come online in October 1st, but also in increases from those entities we had prior. We're seeing significant increases in this fourth quarter as they're seeing that our level of service warrants recommending us to their patients and limiting their exposure to other pharmacies. Again, we're licensed in 14 states. And I'll talk about, when we get to the question and answer session, I know there are a lot of questions about the number of states and the future of our states, so we will go into that. And then we have been publishing a lot of articles. One of the things we've worked on really hard over the last 6 months, and especially the last 4 months, is trying to build the exposure of what it means to be PharmCo. A lot of people don't understand what PharmCo means, what it is we do, because, you know, when we interact with a pharmacy, we're used to walking past aisles and aisles of groceries to get to a pharmacy technician who gives us our medications and we leave. That's the limit of our interaction with pharmacy. That is not what PharmCo does. We are advanced pharmacy services. We are a healthcare company. So we do pharmaceutical coaching, medication therapy management, consultation, education. We do a lot more than just put pills in the hands of patients. We work with doctors. We optimize medication therapy. We save insurance companies money by examining patient medication therapies and making sure the medications the patient is on are cost effective. And that is why insurance companies are trying to partner with us on programs that will benefit their members. We are talking to a number of institutions about how to integrate pharmacies into the healthcare space, into the patient's care team. And by doing that, that will allow us to have more stability. Now, we, as a pharmacy, just PharmCo, have better stability in our patient base, better stability in our physician base than anything else. I know that there are some questions about attrition. I've seen some things where our shareholders are having questions about whether we're losing ground. We don't lose ground. If patients try PharmCo, they don't leave, because we can do everything a pharmacy can do, everything CVS does, everything PillPack does, everything Walmart does, everything a PBM pharmacy does, a mail order pharmacy does, and we do it better. So if you like what we do, there is zero reason to switch. Everybody else is going to charge you more money. Everyone else is going to deliver you a poor service. So there's no reason to switch. Once you come to PharmCo, it's a common joke in our, once you're PharmCo, you're forever PharmCo, and that goes with our staff too. We have a number of boomerangs who think that they want to find a job somewhere else. Within 2 weeks, they're back at PharmCo because we're the best, and they know that. And so we're seeing a lot of advancements. We're seeing a lot of opportunity. And I want to get now, I know I've really sped up and glossed over the financials. I hope that we'll do another podcast with Stuart and we can go further into detail. But I do want to get into the question and answer because there is a lot to talk about and there's a lot of exciting things going on here.
Well, excellent. Thank you for that overview, Sheetal. And now on to the questions. Once again, listeners, I appreciate you sending these questions in. You're always able to do so. You do not need to wait for the press release. You can send them in to me, as many of you do, whenever the question strikes you. So you can send those to us at info@smallcapvoice.com, or my direct email is ssmith@smallcapvoice.com. So let's start with the questions. And here we are on the new location. What are your plans for the new location?
So we, I can't believe I forgot to mention, we signed an agreement to buy a building. This is humongous news. Anybody who has stopped by our pharmacy knows that we are bumping into each other. You have to glide past a lot of shoulders to get anything done over here. And that is a testament to our growth. Growth is a great thing. And so we are so excited to be able to have our own property, to pay a mortgage and have equity in a piece of land. And that's going to do wonders for our growth. Now we're not inhibited. Now we can add more machines. Now we can add more telepharmacy kiosks. Now we can have more staff, more development of our mail order, more development of our long-term care. We are no longer, once that new location closes, we will no longer be inhibited in our growth in any way for a number of years. So we are very excited to move forward with that. Closing, I do anticipate happening, if not the end of this year, the very beginning of next year. I know that the holidays are coming up, so there could be some delays just due to that, not due to anything else. We've spoken with the bank. The mortgage is well on its way to being approved if it's not approved already. We have no indications that there are going to be any hiccups from now until when we close. I know that there are some questions about the structure of the deal on the note. And pardon me, Stuart, if I'm jumping around here. I know that there are some questions on the structure of the note. For those of you that are wondering on that, we will disclose the full agreement on the note at closing. Again, once we sign, once it's real, once the money is in the bank, once we have the keys, then it's real for everybody else, and we'll disclose the note and hope that there's no changes between now and then. There is no just to be clear, though, there is no discount on the convertible portion of this note. We do have to affirm the principal balance, which is $300,000. We can pay that in cash at any time after closing. There is no prepayment penalties, so there's nothing to worry about there. It is an equitable deal, but it does provide us the opportunity if a year from now, again, that note is convertible in 1 year, we wouldn't have to come up with the cash right away. We do have the opportunity to use the cash for our growth and our capital needs. And we're not talking about spending a lot of cash. And that is based on market rates a year from now, not today. So as we grow and as our equity and our share price improves over the next 3 months and over the next 18 months, that will limit the number of shares we would have to issue, if any, for the convertible note. So it was beneficial to us to not have to come out of pocket for $300,000 right now, because we have a lot better uses for it. Now, the plan for how we're going to use it. Again, I talked about staffing. I talked about telepharmacy. I talked about mail order and long-term care. I talked about discharge. I didn't talk about discharge RX and hospital programs, getting mail order licenses, accreditations, and an expanded compounding lab. So once we have the facility built out, once we have the licenses in place, we will be consolidating all of our operations that is currently happening in North Miami Beach. We will retain a small footprint in North Miami Beach in that same 901 location. We have 5,000 square feet there. We'll bring it down to about 1,000 square feet to accommodate a lot of healthcare facilities. We have Jackson Memorial right down the street from us. We have clinics and patients that reside in that area that come into the pharmacy and still view that as a convenient location for them to communicate with us. So we are going to retain that, and we do believe that that's going to be a cost-effective opportunity where we'll have enough prescription revenue from just that small 2 to 5 mile radius to cover the cost of that bay. But the rest of it, essentially, if we do 2,000 to 3,000 prescriptions out of that one location, the rest of it, the other 20,000 or so prescriptions a month that we have today, will move, and also all of our administrative staff will move. Right now, we're operating two separate leases, so I'll have an office inside that location. We won't have to have this other office space, and all of our files and everything will be maintained there. We won't have to have as many storage units for everything. So once the 2-year lease is up in December 2020, we will greatly reduce the cost of our real estate.
All right, excellent. So I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know what that question was, because you really did address it, and it's what are the terms of the $300,000 convertible note? And as you pointed out, the terms will be disclosed later once everything comes to fruition. So let's jump to a different question, if that works for you, Sheetal. Let's talk about the company's current opinions on any changes in the company's share structure.
Okay, so I know that there are a lot of questions. I know everybody has a fear of a reverse split or something of that sort. And I've said this in every conference call. There is nothing we can do in this office between me, the board members, or any preferred shareholder. The preferreds don't get to vote on changes in share structure. So if it becomes necessary, again, not to do it for vanity, not to do it just to eliminate superfluous shareholders, of which there are none. Every shareholder is valuable. If it becomes necessary for the uplist, if it becomes necessary for an acquisition, if it becomes necessary for a financing arrangement that will provide benefits to our shareholders, it will be up to the shareholders to evaluate what the appropriate course of action will be. And that could be a reverse split, that could be an increase in authorized share, that could be any kind of share structure change. We cannot do that here, and the shareholders will be fully involved in that decision, and it will be up to them to determine what's in their best interest. And so right now my opinion is that it's too soon to be talking about changes in share structure. Once that happens, we'll have a shareholder meeting, and everybody will be invited, and we hope that everybody comes and evaluates what's in front of us, and we move forward together as a unified company.
Excellent. Well, let's get an update on organic growth initiatives like Discharge RX and other partnerships.
So we have a tremendous amount of opportunity. As you all know, I spoke at the Florida Telehealth Summit, and I had literally people chasing me down, leaving the plane, to talk to them about opportunities to work together on Discharge RX, on telepharmacy, in working in other states, working at-risk clinics, working with technology vendors and suppliers who want to develop support and platforms. We have a plan here for all of these initiatives. We know what we want to do going forward with Discharge RX. We know the programs we want to have in place. We've connected with a number of people, and we're working on doing it right. The one thing that I know is irksome for many of our shareholders is that it doesn't seem like there is advancement. But let me explain that a little bit. There is a ton of advancement. The telepharmacy platform works. I demoed it live at the Telehealth Summit, and people were amazed at what it can do. People were telling me, and we're talking about representatives from Mayo, representatives from University of Florida, representatives from University of Miami, Johns Hopkins, who are looking at this and saying, this is what we need. And so we want to make sure it works. As you all know, I am shoulder to shoulder with people here. If I have this, if I deploy it in a major facility like Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville or University of Miami, and a patient makes a call from their bedside and it's not answered, and that connection is not perfect, we can lose out on what could be the next evolution of pharmacy. So it has to be right. So we are working to make sure that not only our technology works, but that the technology in all of the facilities work. Century Village is one of those. Where are we moving forward on the kiosk with Century Village? Again, the internet capabilities, the broadband capabilities of each of these locations has to be commensurate with the technology involved. So we are working with a number of places to get them upgraded. We all need to move past dial-up and fax numbers. And we need to start moving to the 21st century of mobile and 5G and cable internet and P3 and all that stuff. we're working on it. We know that in these communities, they are a little bit behind. It takes them time to upgrade their system. So we are working with them, and we're giving them all the specifications that they need. We anticipate in the coming months to be able to start deploying all of our technology, to start deploying telepharmacy, to have more resource centers in these senior living communities, and to have the infrastructure with the kiosk and with the staff and with the pharmacists to be able to answer those calls seamlessly. So that's DischargeRx. With the states, I know we've remained stagnant on the number of states. The reason for why we haven't advanced in those states is, again, the laws have changed. And they change minute to minute. I know you heard that last year. I know you heard that 6 months ago. And it's starting to get tiresome. Believe me, it's tiresome for us, too. When we file an application and they say, oh, it's not enough, you need to now jump through this hoop and that hoop and this accreditation and that accreditation and have somebody come to our facility in the state that you're applying to, it's bothersome to us, too, but we're navigating those hurdles. We want to be a national brand. We are going to be a national brand. We have to do it right. We can't risk what we have today. This pharmacy is too valuable to take shortcuts and try to move things faster than is due. And so we do have several states that are on our list, and we anticipate moving forward in getting those licenses. And on top of that, getting accreditations. We anticipate going forward that accreditations will be necessary. That's why we got the legit script for us. That's why we're updating all of our HIPAA security to make sure that our data cannot be breached by any reasonable measure. So we're doing all the things necessary. And the next phase of that is getting accreditations under all of those specialty contracts and mail order contracts that will be, they're not required today, they will be required. So we're doing advanced anticipation of that, and we will be moving forward in that direction. As you know, with those accreditations, and some of you may know or may not, it takes upwards of a year to get those accreditations. It's not something where you send a form and they send an inspector and you have approval. It takes a year, and it takes constant follow-up and takes constant development. But we have the people here to do it, and we are doing it.
Well, you touched on this a little bit in that response, but what about assisted living facilities? Why haven't we moved on to other facilities similar to Century Village?
Again, same thing. It's because that their technology, their internet, again, is not suitable for what we're trying to do. Imagine, so anybody, I'll give you an example. Anybody that's tried to do FaceTime in a dead zone, that's what it's like. So you get lags, you get poor connection notice, you get poor audio quality, you get poor picture quality. You know, it's difficult to implement a technology like ours when you have that kind of hurdle. But again, we have a number of assisted living, senior living, just like Century Village, who want to need the kiosk. We have the kiosk partner. We are ready to deploy when they are, because there's no point in having a kiosk there that doesn't work. If you tap the button and you just get the spinny bars, it's not worth it. So we have to upgrade them, not us. One thing I did want to touch upon, I know that there were questions about telepharmacy in the state. Yes, we can use telepharmacy and telemedicine, integrate with telemedicine in any of the states we are licensed in. So that's a great benefit. We are talking to a number of people that implement telemedicine because, as you know, we are pioneering telepharmacy. It doesn't exist except at PharmCo. So we are pioneering that. So we're working with people who are experts in the telemedicine field on how to implement telepharmacy wherever you are. We did have indications of interest from healthcare providers in New York, in Texas, in Georgia already to implement our solutions there. So I know that we can move forward with that. And that also brings additional sources of revenue. We can license our technology. We can charge healthcare facilities. And we're working on getting a government-granted pilot to do telehealth and telepharmacy in Florida and all these other states to provide us with an additional source of revenue. But again, those things take time, anybody that's trying to work with the government or work with a major insurance carrier knows it's not 2 days or 2 weeks. It's months and months of time, months and months of work. But we have those opportunities, and those opportunities are for us and us alone because we're the only ones that have it. So it's very exciting. So anybody that has had that question about whether we can take telepharmacy outside of Florida, yes, we absolutely can.
Okay. Now, again, I apologize because you have touched on this a little bit, but maybe you want to add on to it. Why hasn't there been any other movement for out-of-state licenses? Seems like we do for a spell and then stop.
Yes, and I did touch on it a little bit. I know that we want to get these questions answered as thoroughly as possible. It is. It's the regulatory hurdles that we face going forward with other states. And it's not just with governments. It's with PBMs that are, that have to be on board with it, too. And they've placed a number of restrictions. Now, the great thing is, and to move towards the positive, because that's all, what I'm always about. The great thing is we have our performance. We have our adherence. So where we are facing restrictions from PBMs, the first thing we tell them is, before you say we can't help your members in another state, you might want to look at what we've done. You might want to look at how much money we've saved you on the medical level before you say no. And then they take another look. And so we are working with PBMs, but insurance carriers directly. As you know, insurance carriers contract with a PBM. The PBM sets the rules. However, if you contract with an insurance carrier to service their members, that supersedes any PBM contract. So we do have opportunities, especially with insurance companies that have big patient bases in South Florida, who are recognizing the benefits of working with PharmCo to go around those hurdles of going into more states. So now that we have those opportunities, we are pursuing them.
Very good. Well, we have a lot of questions regarding this area. So listeners, thank you once again for sending your questions, but I did have to consolidate them. So I'm just going to ask you, tell us all things update related with the CBD line of business.
Okay. So this is the most exciting thing for us. We are a healthcare company, and we want to make sure our patients have access to the leading dietary supplements, medications, whatever the case may be, that will alleviate their pain, alleviate their stress, make them feel better, have better wellness, have better quality of life. So we know what we want to do with CBD. We have the blends. We know how we want to mix them. We know how we want to use them. We know the purity standards. We know the growth standards, the plants we want to use. We've done all of that research. That research took a lot of time because, again, not all CBD is made equal. And anybody that's using it, this is the mom and me talking. Anybody that's using CBD right now, look at your label because not all of them are pure. Not all of them are using the highest quality plants. Not all of them are using the highest quality production standards. We only want to work with the best. And we are at the NDA stages now with a couple of manufacturers trying to navigate how a partnership between us and them would work. The other issue we face, and not to put a damper on this, but the other issue we face is the law. And in January, we anticipate the Farm Bill being signed into law by the president. So we are looking out for that and how that will affect the CBD market. We also know that the FDA has now weighed in on CBD with Epidiolex. And we have reached out to the manufacturers of Epidiolex, and we will see where that will take us. But that does change the dynamic a little bit because what used to be an over-the-counter dietary supplement that you could get anywhere now has been moved to prescription-grade C4. So that could change the way the FDA, C5, that could change the way the FDA and the DEA look at CBD on the shelves of pharmacies. With retail institutions, I don't know how they'll treat it because they don't regulate those companies. But as a pharmacy, we have to be careful because we are regulated by the DEA and the FDA. And we need to protect the interests of shareholders. We don't want to risk what we have as a healthcare institution to experiment in a shortcut-taking way on just moving into the CBD market without having it done right. That being said, these are exciting times for us. We know what we want to build. We know what we know we have the plan. We know we have the patient base to market our services, and we have the reputation. So we're going to put our name behind these products, which is a big deal. Again, not all CBD is made alike. This is going to be Farmco's reputation on the line with the CBD brand, and we have two manufacturers that we're working on NDAs with to explore those partnerships. So very, very exciting times. Look out for more updates in January after the Farm Bill passes, but we're not waiting for January. We're trying to get things in place so that once the Farm Bill passes, we can start moving forward on production. And that we have clear rules and we'll know what to do. But until then, there's a lot of different interpretations of the law, and we can't risk shareholder value by rushing.
All right, let's do the same this one. Let's talk about all things SEC filing. So your filing coming up, let's talk about it.
Okay, so we are, nothing has really changed. We still want to move forward with becoming an SEC filer. We still want to become fully reporting. Nothing has changed on the anticipated timeline. As you know, as I say in all my calls, I hate giving timelines, but today nothing has changed. We are still working forward. We are still in the process of doing our F-1. We had to file these financial numbers. We will incorporate the stub period into the S-1. Now the September financials and keep moving forward on that. We are in communications with the SEC about what they will need, and we do anticipate that they will need 2 years of audited financials, and we're prepared. We've already started communications with an SEC PCAOB auditor, and once that comes to fruition, you guys will be the first to know.
All right, excellent. Well, let's talk about acquisition and expansion, giving us an update on the Palm Beach location and other areas as well. So let's talk about acquisition and expansion.
Okay, so let's talk about we'll talk about Palm Beach first, and I know I might be moving around, but I'm going to talk about Palm Beach first. Palm Beach is doing really well. We had to update their technology as well. We had to update their software. We had to integrate with the pharmacy here because, as you know, we have been servicing five South Florida counties with same-day delivery from North Miami Beach. So now in order for us to move those prescriptions to Palm Beach, we had to update their software. We had to update their servers. We had to update their phone lines, their internet, their everything. And so now that they are upgraded, we also had to hire and train new staff. The staff that was there was used to a different demographic. They worked a lot with long-term care institutions, which is a lot of the reason we purchased that pharmacy. But we service patients all over the state, and patients of broad demographics, Haitian community, Spanish community, Russian, Indian, Chinese, you name it, doesn't matter where you are, where you come from, we service you at the same level. And so that staff, we needed more staff, and they needed to be trained and ready to go to service these patients. So that took a little bit of time. Anybody that's trained anyone knows it takes time to get people ready. And so now we believe the staff is ready, and we changed all of their marketing, rebranded everything to Farmco, changed all of their packaging, changed all of their labeling, changed all of their phone messaging, their websites, everything. to integrate with Farmco, and now we can move forward using Farmco's name and reputation in the Palm Beach area, and we are moving forward. And again, I do believe, I promised everybody I wanted to have 20-30% increase in revenue and prescription counts by December. We achieved that in a very short period of time. We're going to achieve that through the remainder of the year, and you'll see growth and revenue and profitability in Touchpoint probably by December and into next year, into the beginning quarters of 2019. So we are very excited with moving forward with that, and they have the machinery and the equipment and the vehicles all up to date now, so we're ready. Acquisition on other fronts. We are moving forward in that direction as well. I hate talking about things before they're ready. You can't put apples before the cart. So I don't have any updates on an acquisition target right now. We are talking, as I've said in many calls, we are talking to a number of companies. We are moving forward with a number of companies to get to a place where we're moving into the Orlando area and the I-4 corridor, into the Tampa area, further up the east coast of Florida. So I don't like talking about it before it's done, but once we have any agreement signed, the shareholders obviously will be the first to know, but to allay any fears that are out there, we haven't forgotten it. We work on acquisitions every single day. Those are the calls we have every single day, and we are moving forward with it. So I don't want to give timelines. I don't want to give anything else because everything is very soon in the process. But as soon as we have anything signed on paper, we will disclose it promptly.
Excellent. Well, Sheetal, thank you for that. That wraps up our question and answer section. Any closing thoughts or comments for your shareholders who are on the call?
Yes, I know I get very long-winded at the end of this, and I get very sentimental. It's because I feel so passionately about what I do. But let's talk about the future. Let's talk about healthcare. Healthcare, as it pertains to pharmacy going forward, will be defined by progressive care. Everybody else wants to pretend that they can make pharmacy go back to the way it was 10 years ago. It's not happening. The decades of our youth are over, and I have no interest in looking backwards. I have every interest in defining the future of this company and defining the future of pharmacy in general. So that is why we have developed our technology. We are on the precipice of phase two of our evolution. And as anybody can tell you, evolution doesn't happen in a day, but we move faster than anybody else because we're a lean ship. We will be the ones that bring the technology of the future to pharmacy. We will be the ones that develop it. We will be the ones that define the rules. Anybody that wants to become a pharmacy in the future will have to learn to be like progressive care. And anybody that wants to try to make it just a medication business, just a delivery business, just an automated business, hands-off approach to patients' business is going to fail because patients need support. And pharmacies all across the country, good ones, reputable ones, are failing their patients because they are not integrating into their lives. They are not providing the consultation. They are not providing the service. And we are. So healthcare institutions are looking to us to figure out what they should be doing as a company, what they should be doing for their patients. They ask us what they should prescribe, and that's how we like it. Any company moving forward will have to model us. We define the model. And so the future for progressive care is bright. The future for our shareholders is bright. We are not just going to be a healthcare company. So that is our love. That is what we want. That's what we care about. Patient outcomes is more important than anything else in this world, but we're going to be a technology company too. And that's not just to spit out a buzzword. That's to define what solutions will be there in the future. If you look 5 years from now, CVS Walgreens, Walmart will be using the solutions we developed and we pioneered, and they're going to have to look at us for what we need. You know, just like Xerox years ago developed all of this tech that were then used by other people. I don't want to be the Xerox. We're going to own that tech. We're going to be the ones you have to come to if you want to advance in the technology sphere of patient management, of healthcare management, of telemedicine, of telepharmacy, of whatever. If you're helping a patient and healthcare happens at home, somewhere Pharmco in progressive care is going to be involved. And we are going to be synonymous with care. So that's the future. That's what we're working toward, and that's what all of our shareholders have to look forward to. This company is nothing to be played with, and when I talk about this company and how excited I am, that's not to exaggerate. I don't feel an exaggeration. This is where we are. This is where we're going, and everybody needs to start waking up and smell the future, because here we are. So thank you very much for listening to me. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Whatever you celebrate, be fat, be merry, get a little drunk, and be excited, because there's a lot of exciting things happening at Progressive Care, a lot to be excited about and a lot to be optimistic about. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Sheetal. Once again, speaking with Sheetal Mars, CEO of Progressive Care Incorporated. Keep those questions coming in. Keep following the company under the ticker symbol RXMD. Have a great night.